Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with my brother from another mother, the captain, Jack Barry.
Captain of the Yacht Rock. Yep.
Yeah, dude, Yacht Rock. We covered that
Yacht
in
Rock's a vibe
last,
now.
Week's, yeah. last week's Podluck.
So, Podlucks, yeah.
But Yacht Rock, dude, I've been chilling to some Yacht Rock. I'll be honest with you. I found out that Apple Music has a Yacht Rock playlist, like an official.
Wow. Apple, dude, I need to find this.
Apple, dude, it's full of Phil Collins and Doobie Brothers. And I am yep. not mad. I'm yep. not mad at it.
Yep. Dude, I'm about to say
Yacht
that.
Yacht Rock is a new genre that I have been introduced to in 2024. And let's just say I'm all in on Yacht Rock right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yacht Rock is yes rock. I'm in on it. Jack, I had a funny experience happen to
what?
Me not
what happened?
An hour and a half ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So I'm enjoying some time with one of my elders. Okay.
Yeah.
His name is Colton.
Were you guys at the lounge?
We were.
Cigar lounge?
Yes, we were at the lounge. We both had a rare, very rare, free Monday night. So we thought, you know what? Let's hop down to the lounge. So we hopped down to the lounge. We got in his truck, went down to the lounge, watched the first half of Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. Watched Aaron Rodgers, you know, beat
be
up
disappointing.
On the,
be disappointing.
Yeah, I didn't see the second half. Did the Jets lose?
Yeah, they lost. They lost by two or three scores, I think.
Okay. Ouch. Anyway,
two or three touchdowns. It was. It wasn't as bad as the Browns got beat on.
Yeah. Sunday. I do feel bad for your Browns. But anyway. So we left around. It was halftime. We're like, okay, let's head home. You know, got to be up early for work, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we're up at the counter paying for our bill, and there's this guy sitting to my left at the counter there smoking a cigar. And he goes, and I've seen this guy before. I've sold him a couple cigars before. Interesting guy. You know, he's just, I'll just leave it there. Interesting fellow.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
I'm talking to the lady behind the counter, and, you know, we know each other. So she's asking, hey, how's it going? How's it going at the church? You still enjoying pastoring, things like that? I'm like, yeah, I love it. Love pastoring. And he goes, and then this guy out of nowhere, he goes, what denomination are you in? And I go, we're actually, oh, it gets weirder.
Gosh. It goes, oh, gosh.
Dude. And like, this is as I'm signing. Like, so me and Colton, right? One of my other elders, we're signing our receipts. Like, we're paying. It's time to go.
Tipping, stuff like that.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. You know, exchanging pleasantries with the bartender there, right? And he goes, what denomination are you in? And I go, we're actually non-denominational, but we're Reformed Baptist in our theology. And he goes, oh, okay. Yeah. I know. Like I was wondering if you were like SBC or something, because I used to be SBC.
And I'm like, okay, no, no. I said, yeah, we're not SBC. We're, you know, we're kind of like SBC just without the politics. That's what I said. He goes, oh, okay. I'm signing my bill. And I'm talking to the lady behind the counter. Her name's Haley. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about, you know, pastoring and Cedar Woolley and stuff like, you know, all that stuff. And I hear him strike up a conversation with Colton, the elder behind me, out of the blue. As I'm talking to Haley, all I hear him say is this. So what do you believe about predestination?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
And I look over my shoulder and Colton's eyes are like, dude, I'm signing my receipt. Who asks this? Dude, only at a cigar lounge. I got to give props to my elder Colton. Obviously, otherwise he wouldn't be an elder if he couldn't answer that question.
That's true. Yeah.
But he handled it great. He's like, well, you know, that's a big conversation for not as much time as we have right now. But as I'm talking to Haley, I hear him talking about, well, you know, it comes down to, you know, like, what do we believe about the sovereignty of God when it comes to salvation, things like this. And this guy, dude, this guy, they were having an entire sidebar. I have never been so split in my, like,
oh, yeah,
in my attentions in my life, because I'm wanting to continue to talk to Haley because she's talking to me, right? And I'm wanting to be nice and don't, but I'm hearing like this guy being like, well, I mean, don't you think that's kind of a heartless position to take? And I'm like, what is going on behind me? Colton handled it great. I gotta give props to him. Like we weren't there for an hour. It was great. He actually ended it. He's like, you know, it's a much larger conversation than what we can have right now. But what I would encourage you is to make sure that, you know, he like gave him the gospel, and he's like, and then you're a part of a Bible believing church. And the guy's like, yeah, I haven't been to church for a while. I just kind of read my Bible. And Colton's like, well, see, that's why it's important to be part of a church. And he like goes into that. And I'm just sitting here like trying to focus on my conversation as we're walking out. I just look at him. I go, what happened? I can't take you anywhere. I can't take you anywhere. I just wanted a relaxing evening at the lounge.
No,
it was funny
today.
But cigar lounges really are. This is what I love about cigar lounges. They are one of the only places outside of the local church where I have found that I can have conversations about the two taboo things you're not supposed to talk about, politics and religion.
Yeah.
And they go fine. True. Yeah. It's just something about the vibe there. People are willing to have the conversations, and you leave, you know, I've never left a conversation from a cigar lounge like where like it didn't go well, you know. Like you might not agree at the end of the day, but you're cordial.
Yeah.
That was funny. Paying my bill, and here's a guy out of the blue. What do you think about predestination? I'm like, well,
bruh,
here we go. Oh, fun times. Anyway, I thought of you when that happened. I'm like, if Jack was here, he'd be laughing so hard right now. He'd be laughing so hard. All right, Jack, we got stuff to talk about, my friend.
Speaking of cigars.
Yes. Why don't you hit us with this week's Reformatory Cigar of the Week? What do you got for us?
So we are continuing our September is for Southern Draw
with
the probably the best, the most sought after Connecticut, in my opinion. And this is I'm going to talk about the offshoot of it. So the Connecticut that we're reviewing is called the Rose of Sharon by Southern Draw. I talked a little bit about the founder of Southern Draw. His name's Robert Holt. The cigars called Jacob's Ladder and the Rose of Sharon, even though they are plays on those biblical words, like biblical meanings and stuff like that, Jacob's Ladder, Rose of Sharon, his wife's name is Sharon.
Right.
And his son's name is Jacob. So it kind of goes well with that. Yep. But this is kind of like his homage to his wife. He made this cigar blend that uses it's quite interesting. So this is what's called the Desert Rose. So this is an offshoot of the original Rose of Sharon, right? So this is, the wrapper is Ecuadorian. The binder's Nicaraguan, and the fillers are Dominican Republic and Honduran. And the Honduran is this Corojo, kind of Honduran Corojo tobacco, which is interesting. So this particular one is in the Lonsdale, 6x44. You're going to get like a man. How can I explain this cigar? You are going to get like, I feel like it's a, it's more of like a cracker, like dessert graham cracker ish.
It is
experience. It's a with a little bit of pepper mixed it.
Fantastic. With a little bit of pepper. Cigar.
Yep. Mixed into it as well too. It is not like a very, like a lot of Connecticut's have very light, profiles. This one has like some spice to it. Has like a, like there's a little bit of earthiness, a little bit of spice, a little bit of sweetness to it. I don't know. It's kind of like, man, what can I equate this to? It's maybe like more of like, I don't know. Sometimes I get like pumpkin pie vibes from it from time to time. Yep. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a heavy stick. It's very light, very floral, very good.
Okay, Josh. Yeah. Per usual. This was actually rated, the Desert Rose Lonsdale was rated 90.
Okay.
By Half Wheel, excuse me, not Cigar Aficionado. On Cigar Aficionado and other places, the original Rose of Sharon's rated like 99, almost 100.
Yeah.
It's very high.
It's one of the highest rated Connecticut's ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh, what is your MSRP take on this one? And I will preface.
Okay.
Think about what you said last time on the last cigar.
What did I say last time? I can't remember what I did yesterday. My mind's still on a predestination, like a predestination conversation. What did I say? What did I say last week? I don't even remember. Okay. I'm just going to give it. Here we go. $10 to $12.
You're basically in that range, yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. Right there. It's $9.99 again.
Yes.
Another $9.99er. Yeah. $9.99 do I'd say probably like
I give the range depending on what size, what Vitola you get. Yeah.
Yeah. Lonsdale's a little bit longer than your typical Robusto.
Right.
You know, Toro ish, you know. So but yeah, that is the Southern Draw, Rose of Sharon, the Desert Rose edition of the cigar. There you go.
One of my favorite Connecticut's of all time. It's such a great stick. It's a great stick to have in the morning. It really is. If you want to skip breakfast, have a cup of coffee, Rose of Sharon. Oh, dude, I'm telling you, it's delicious. All right, Jack. Well done, as always, bringing nothing but the best to the podcast, nothing but the best to our listeners. It's what you do. We thank you for your service. In multiple ways.
That's funny.
Ladies and gentlemen, is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week, and you know what to do. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. So today we have a topic. You sent me, I'm going to preface this. You sent me a picture.
I sent you many pictures.
You did. You sent me many pictures. I'm going to let you take the lead on this one because you sent me, I'll read this first one. Okay. And then I'm going to let you start us off. Right.
Okay.
Basically we're talking about, I look at this, I think of the importance of discipleship in the local church is what I'm seeing here.
Yeah. That biblical literacy too.
And yeah.
And other things.
That's a big one too. Yeah. It's not just that, you know what? It's a lot of things. Okay. But the picture you sent me is of Tucker Carlson and Russell Brand at some sort of event. And Russell Brand is on his knees praying. And it just says, Tucker Carlson and Russell Brand praying at the closing of an event before thousands in Arizona, Wednesday, September 5th. And the caption says this, when pastors and pulpits are silent, God will raise up prophetic voices outside the church.
Yeah.
That's what it says. Okay. So you sent this and you little peek behind the curtain. You just send it to me with the caption, "What in the crap is this?" And I got this in like the middle of my day. I'm like, I don't actually know, pal. I don't know what's happening here. Yeah. So with that as the preface, I'm going to let you, Jack, take us. Please start this off.
I will be, if you want some reference material, I pulled this actually out of my library. Mm-hmm. This is the new dictionary of biblical theology And surprisingly, we're talking about prophecy. I literally flipped to the page that talks about prophecy in it, which is kind of funny. So this has like D.A. Carson, Graham Goldsworthy, a whole bunch of like other like biblical theologians in it. I'll talk about it here in a second when we talk about like the prophets. But so this is what really gets me going. Mm-hmm. When people start saying like, oh, when pulpits are silent, God will raise up these prophets outside the mm-hmm. church. Well, what do you really mean by that? Because that really doesn't happen in the Bible at all, really, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. If you just look at the way in which prophets were raised up, they were raised up within Israel, mm-hmm. right? They're raised up in the church. They're not raised up outside of the church. They're not unbelievers that somehow get this prophetic voice. That's not how this works, people. Like, the way that God uses the office of the prophet back in the Old Testament, and the only other person to hold that office, which was Jesus, is he institutes these people to go inside either Israel or the church, tell them that they are sinning, tells them that they need to repent, tells them that they need to
not turn crap off,
turn away from their sins. You know, in some cases, I was reading this in First Kings. In some cases, the kings of Judah were doing that really well. Mm-hmm. They were knocking down the idols. They were putting forth reforms and stuff like that. They were trying to not be like the neighbors to the north, like the Israel kingdom,
right?
With King Ahab, right? So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When we talk about prophets, we are not talking about people who are like some sort of signal outside the church.
Right.
That just doesn't happen in scripture at all. And when I see stuff like this, it shows me how biblically illiterate people are about just how the church works. Like, say, for example, this case. Okay, the pulpits are silent. You know what's going to happen? A church member is going to come up and rebuke you. Mm-hmm. Or an elder is going to come up and rebuke you. That's what's going to happen if a pulpit or a pastor is silent on something. Something will go down in that local church in order that, like, people know the Holy Spirit will operate in that so that there won't be silence on things.
Right.
Or God can do something like he does in Revelation and just take the lampstand off, right? And just say, yeah, you're a church no more because you don't want to do the things that are really representing me in the world mm-hmm. right now, right?
Yeah.
So we have to really be careful when we, okay, I'm just going to say this politely, but boomers, y'all, when you get on social media, when you get on the sociables, can you please exercise some judgment when you're trying to post your pictures? Because this ain't it. This ain't jiving with the Bible, okay? A boomer put this on his profile, people. I'm just saying, okay? I know y'all want to call out millennials and how we're screwing things up. Millennials are 40 years old now, okay? We're not kids anymore.
Satan's children will not share and like this post.
Anyway, so this is like really interesting. So in this dictionary, actually, it says, how did the prophets deliver their messages? So this really gets down to stuff. Because I hear a lot of people talking about the prophetic voice of this person. Mm-hmm. Really, let's be honest about this. Like, the only time, quote unquote, like, and I think prophecy and prophetic gets thrown around in a bad way.
Sure.
I use prophetic, meaning that they are speaking towards reform or repentance, usually.
Sure.
Or justice that needs to happen. Okay. I don't talk about prophecy or prophetic voice, meaning they're speaking of the future or something like that.
Sure.
Even though in the book of Acts, it's very interesting. There's guys who are talked about in the book of Acts that say something along the lines of, it's like they're trying to warn the people about a forthcoming famine, and they're trying to basically say, hey, prepare yourself and, yeah, batten down the hatches when that's used. But it says, most often prophetic messages were simply spoken aloud with an affirmation that they were indeed words of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you talk about there's going to be prophetic voices that come outside the church, that don't make no sense, people. Mm-hmm. If they're outside the church, they're not Christians. Like, let's put two and two together on these things, okay? The prophetic messenger formula is this. Thus says the Lord.
There it is.
Thus says the Lord. Occurs hundreds of times throughout the Old Testament. From time to time, dramatic physical symbolism accompanied a spoken prophetic message. There's certain times where certain priests and certain prophets like tore like a new garment into 12 pieces and then gave them to like Jeroboam to symbolize the division of the kingdom. Elisha and King Joash shot an arrow symbolizing victory over the Syrians. Jeremiah smashed a potter's vessel to symbolize irreplaceable judgment. Irreparable judgment coming upon Jerusalem. Ezekiel dug through the city wall and carried baggage out, symbolizing forthcoming exile. Such symbolic acts did not merely make the message unforgettable. They were one form in which the message came. So you got to remember that. Like, these prophets who are like, are making these messages and saying, thus says the Lord, they're not outside the church.
Right.
They're not people who are not they're not people who are unbelievers just trying to say random political thoughts or something like that. Mm-hmm. They're actual people that God has interacted with, and these men have said, thus says the Lord. Yeah. And they're calling, usually in the Old Testament, people to repentance. I would say Jesus, the greatest prophet that we know of. I would say the last person who operated in the position of prophet, mm-hmm. would say, woe to you.
Right.
You know, he said this to the Pharisees, like, woe to you who like insert the injustice that the Pharisees did to the people of Israel, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of the groundwork for where I'm going with that picture. But
yeah,
I don't know if you have any, some mustard to put on that hot dog there, Josh.
Oh yeah, that I just made. I have some gray poupon, like not just mustard, the fancy stuff. No, I mean, yeah, I 100% agree. I think part of the problem with the culture that we live in right now is people will view prophetic word or you know, they're speaking truth, you know, and they'll say these things primarily. I don't know if I want to say primarily. They'll say these things often when things are being said that aren't scriptural, but political.
Yeah.
Right. We know that there's a blurring of politics and Christianity going on in America. We know it is. Right. And often these kind of posts that Jack is referring to rise up when someone is saying something that's just politically conservative and not actually scriptural. And if you dig into what the person believes scripturally, we wouldn't put the term prophet on them, right? I mean, Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse, 8? But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel that is contrary to one that we preach to you, let him be accursed, right? As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one that you have received, let him be accursed. And we see a lot of that today.
Sure.
We see a lot of blending of culture, politics, opinions,
sugar-coated with some gospel language, and then people eat it up.
Yeah.
Right? And it's gotten to the point to where we have this, well, the enemy of my enemy is my friend mentality when it comes to engaging the culture, because, well, this person agrees with me politically, or this person agrees with me culturally, therefore I'm going to lock arms with them, or therefore I'm going to prop them up as a quote-unquote prophetic voice that we should be listening to. Right. And it's often, I would say, and I'm comfortable using often in this sense. It's very often, I would say the vast majority, not a person that is speaking biblical truths. Mm-hmm. They're speaking conservative language.
Sure.
Or they're speaking conservative politics. Right. It's not the gospel. It's not the word of God. It's not correct theology. But because what they are saying is agreed upon by a lot of Christian conservatives, they latch onto it and they turn it into Christian, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a problem that I have with posts like this, is like this whole Russell Brand thing. I've been following this for not a long time, but like enough to kind of know, like, he's been on this spiritual journey and he's had a quote-unquote spiritual awakening that has landed him, I believe, in the Anglican Church. I don't think he's Catholic.
Right, like, I think he's leaning towards Catholicism.
He's on the edge. Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah. Because I know that's not even sure, right?
Yeah.
I know he's very, you know, he put a lot of stock into being baptized. He wanted to be baptized, you know, and the language that he used about baptism, both before and after it, was very baptismal regeneration esque. And there was a lot of language that was put on there. But this is my concern. Because he's a celebrity and because he is now saying things that, you know, vaguely sound Christian, I'm going to say vaguely, okay, we latch onto him and we call him a prophetic voice, because Tucker Carlson believes in conservative politics and conservative values and, I believe, claims to be a Christian. I don't know his personal life, but I think he claims to be one.
Claims to be Episcopalian, apparently.
Okay. But all right. There we go.
Very interesting way to go about that. But
sure.
Okay.
Again, but like, because that's where they are, we put everything that I would look at as to a person to judge whether or not they are a Christian, right? We look at fruit of the life, right? We look, I want to know, what do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about about the gospel and the law? What do you believe about works? How do those filter into your salvation, right? Mm-hmm. Do they? Right. What do you, like I said, what do you believe about Christ? What do you believe about the gospel? These things aren't asked. These things aren't touched on. And because they say very basic religious Christianese words and phrases, we prop them up. And I look at the whole Russell Brand thing and that thing that you sent me, Russell Brand and Tucker Carlson being propped up as prophetic voices. And my first thought is, did we learn nothing from Kanye? You know, like,
true.
I mean, it's not
true.
A joke, right?
True.
I was driving back from the lounge just today, and we were listening to the Jesus is King album, and it struck me again, and I've had this thought before, but it frustrates the heck out of me that Kanye released that album in what is like 2018, something like that, 2017.
So.
He released that album, and in doing so, made an album that is better than 90% of Christian hip hop that is released. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't even a Christian. He wasn't even a believer. And the amount of weight that people put on Kanye and his conversion, propping him up as look at this. There was no discernment used. Now, look, when Kanye when he was professing Christ and he put that album out and he was kind of going around, you know, doing the different talks and listening to him, I was very hopeful. I wanted it to be very true, but I was I was never the guy that was like, look, he, like, let's give him the book deals. Let's give him the pulpits. Let's give him, let's prop him up as a prophetic voice, right? Mm-hmm. I was always like, you know, one, a tree is known by its fruit, and fruit takes a while to grow. Let's wait and see. I'm hopeful. I hope it's true. And it turned out it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sad.
it's sad to see. So like I see this kind of stuff, and I ask myself, you know, why is there such a propensity in the local church to go to celebrities and those that we would call prophetic voices when we have what we need within the local church? Mm-hmm. And I guess that's the final thing I want to say on this, and I'll throw it back over to you, Jack.
Yeah.
The critique is when churches and pulpits are silent, God raises up prophets. That's the critique, okay? Churches and pulpits have never been silent. You just have an incorrect barometer of what silence looks like.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God has been faithfully preached ever since its inception.
Yeah.
The word of God will continue to be faithfully preached, right? But when you have an unbiblical and I would say skewed understanding of what that is supposed to look like what are the results of that supposed to look like in culture, you're going to come to this conclusion. When you think that America is and should be a Christian nation and the law of God should be the law of the land and you're moving in that direction, you're going to have a skewed understanding of what progress or faithfulness looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the church has always been a minority, and I believe it always will be.
Yeah.
Will always be a remnant. The vast majority of things that you see on TV and in culture that claim Christianity, they aren't. They just aren't. There is always a faithful remnant that preaches the gospel, right? That lives the gospel and that shares the gospel with the culture that they are in. And it's always the local churches. That's where it is. So it's not that pulpits and churches have grown silent. It's that you have an incorrect, and I would say unbiblical, expectation of what progress or I would say faithfulness looks like in the culture. Because if you're looking for this big culture changing, you know, a revival that rips through the land like the first Reformation did, you know, there's no guarantee that that's the way God's going to do it again.
Yeah.
And if that's your expectation, yeah, I think you're missing the very important, very faithful work that is being done in those local churches that are doing it without prophetic voices. We're doing it without celebrities. We're doing it without the vibrato and the exposure and the social media, because that's where the true ministry is in the faithful service of men and women within the local church.
Yeah.
If we have more of an emphasis on that, I think there's no need for a prophetic voice, because we have the word of God. That is what we have. And we have men and women that are faithfully living that out in the local church.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, it says there's a lot of notes. People, if you want this resource, I can send it to you via DM. I'm just saying. This thing is literally a dictionary. but it says the authority of the prophetic message. This is interesting. Hmm. It says throughout the Old Testament, the prophet's words are the very words of God.
Yeah.
And you know what we have the very words of God in?
Yep. Say it.
The very Bible that we hold every single day and read from. We have the oracles of God.
Mm-hmm.
I think Peter calls them the oracles of God in his epistles, if I'm not mistaken. But like you don't need like these dudes who have a quote unquote prophetic message, mm-hmm, or prophetic ability. Like, they really don't have a prophetic ability, to be quite honest. If they did, they would be in a local church and they would say, hey, let's look to scripture. Hey, open your Bibles up to Ezekiel or Isaiah, mm-hmm, and let's see how, you know, our forefathers in the faith like really messed up and were called out by God to repent and turn away from their sins. Like, If you really want prophetic messages, like, open up your Bible, people.
Yeah.
Like, you honestly don't need to turn on Fox News and watch guys who are quote unquote prophetic voices who are outside the church, because most likely they're false prophets.
Well, 100%.
If that's what you're trying to label people like that.
I think it was Papa Sproul that said, if you want to hear the voice of God audibly,
read your Bible out loud. Mm-hmm. It's such a savage quote, man. It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
You know, we are a people that have a desire for the sensational, right? We want to be relevant. We want to see these celebrities on our side, because that's what the culture puts stock in. The culture puts stock and importance in how much money do you have? How big is your following? Right. Mm-hmm. How many shares and clicks do you get? Who's on your team? Right.
Yep.
And if we can get these celebrities on our team, well, then the culture will see finally that we're relevant, and we're actually the real deal, and we're worth considering and worth thinking about, worth exploring. That's never been what brings people to Christ. It's never been your follower count. It's never been how many celebrities you get sharing your stories on their Instagram. It's never mm-hmm. been about the quote unquote prophetic voices that are in the culture. It's always been about the faithful preaching and proclamation of the gospel through the hard, diligent service of men and women in the local church. That's what the gates of hell are never going to prevail against, right?
Yeah.
And that's where our stock needs to be put into, not in celebrities, not in prophetic voices, the word of God, mm-hmm. the faithful proclamation of the word of God every Lord's Day. And that faithful proclamation going out through the church, from the church into the culture. That's where it happens. And we got to stop being a people that are captivated by sensationalism.
Yeah.
Because it is. And I get it. It is an attractive thing, mm-hmm. right? To be on the winning team. And to want to be the team with all the shiny things and all the important people. We're never going to be that. We're never going to be the thing that the culture looks at and says, oh, like that's awesome. That's awesome. This culture is moving farther and farther away from God.
Oh, yeah.
Farther and farther away from Scripture as the authority. We are, as Christians, faithful Christians, are going to become much like, we're going to be the weird ones, right? We're going to be the strange people that still hold some archaic book. We're going to be the fundamentalists. We're going to be the bigots, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to be the racists, the homophobes, the whatever xenophobes, whatever the culture wants to throw on the true Christianity. That's what we're going to be. You got to stop worrying about being accepted by the culture, because we never were and we never will be. Like Scripture yeah. promises that. Like, they hated Christ, they're gonna hate you. What part of that do we not get? Yeah. You know, and but again, I get it. It's an attractive thing. But it matters what you put stock into. It matters what do you see as important? Because that's gonna dictate where your affections go.
Yeah, I hope our history become cyclical, kind of like the early church, where people start to label us cannibals because they think we're eating the blood.
Yeah,
that's we're right. drinking the blood and eating the body of Christ. You know,
that's right.
I want those days to come forth. You know, like the days where we were like rescuing kids out of dumpsters because people didn't want them.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that was happening in the early church in Rome and across the Roman Empire. Yep. Yeah, I kind of yearn for that. It is kind of coming around because more people are becoming polytheistic and pagan in their in their thought process and how they understand spirituality. Yep. So you never know.
Everything's cyclical. It is. Mm-hmm. But the gospel is constant. The gospel mm-hmm. is the constant. And it has been the thing that has remained constant throughout everything. Every political regime, every war, every cultural change. The gospel has remained constant, because the gospel does not change, because God does not change, and our need to proclaim the gospel has not changed. Mm-hmm. So that's what we put focus on, not Russell Brand and Tuckle. I want to call him Tuckle.
I want to call him Tickle. Tickle Carlson.
Tickle Carlson. Tickle Carlson. Tuckle Carlson. It's like Tuckle Carlson, Russell Brand. let's just not go there.
Can we just stop with the celebrity pastors and the celebrity people? and just put that to bed and just
celebrity people. Yeah. Yeah. No. Jack, I think Big Eva has sung.
Big Eva has sung.
There's more that could be said, but yeah, I think it's time that we put this one to bed and move on to our Patreon. We have Patreon episodes to get to.
We do.
Our patrons are awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, if you appreciate Josh and I's attempts to make the local church central in the believer's life and try to correct biblical illiteracy and understanding of what prophetic means, and you have questions about the prophetic or what it means to once have been a prophet, or do we, we're probably going to get 5 DM messages saying, are there prophets now? Does this happen? It's like, oh my gosh, just open up a can of worms. Anyway, you can follow us on the sociables. If you would, you can drop us a DM, a question. Maybe you have a offshoot episode idea for us there on the Facebook, also called the Metaverse. The Instagram goes well with chocolate marshmallow, or the always interesting, formerly known as Twitter X, maybe, all at the tag at Reformer Tory Pod. Josh will tell you how you can actually watch us and see our faces and then support us further here at the Reformatory.
If you listen to this podcast and you think to yourself, I bet these guys are super good looking. I bet these guys are so handsome, dastardly handsome, viciously handsome.
Vicious? What?
Aggressively, offensively handsome. I want to see what these guys look like. Well, you can head on over to YouTube and get the surprise of your life.
look like a grunge band gone wrong.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. I look like that rocker guy who just can't admit the 80s are over. Because I just can't do it. Like, it was the best era of music. You can head on over to YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube channel, like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We really appreciate that. You can rate this podcast and review this podcast on Apple and Spotify. 5 stars for 5 solos. We'd really appreciate it. Leave us a little blurb about where you found the podcast, maybe what you appreciate about the podcast. That'd be awesome. Last but not least, we have a Patreon, all access, the Podluck, we call it. And for $5 a month, that's less than a pumpkin spice latte a month, people. We're coming into pumpkin spice. Dude, there's white chicks snorting pumpkin spice off of the hoods of Priuses right now. Okay, we're coming into that season.
Oh my gosh.
If you want to stop the pandemic that is the pumpkin spice epidemic, that is
pumpkin spice Han Solo outfit.
Dude, if you like, you think fentanyl's bad? Pumpkin spice right now is an epidemic in our country. If you want to fight against this,
it was the code word for drugs in Star Wars. Spice.
Yeah, spice. Exactly. 100%. And Dune. It's like, if you want to fight against the epidemic that is pumpkin spice in America, then join the Podluck. $5 a month. And you too could become a Patreon supporter. And if you do, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.